today's episode of The Grand Hypocrisy, this policies. Can I redo that again? I really just lost my train of thought. I'm so sorry.
Sure, go for it.
Hello, hi. Welcome to the Banter Pup FC, the sauciest team in the game, the spiciest takes on the pitch. Been a little bit, but we're back. Doing good, doing great. I hope you're doing great as well. I hope this meets you well. So today, pub members, today we have El Capitan. Neil, how are you?
Doing well, Jesse. How are you?
Doing.
It's been a very busy transfer window, hasn't it?
Quite.
It's still going. As of this recording, the transfer window has not closed. It stays away.
Right, exactly. Yep, and that is, today is August 24th. So, yeah. And then today we have here our man, Joseph.
I am innocent and have committed no crimes. That is all.
I'd love to hear it, because, on the run.
Yeah. Making moves. Yeah, a lot has been going on. life is different when you're a two-sport athlete at 37 years of age, but I love it, so there you are.
I love to hear it. All right, so let's move on into today's episode. We're going to do...
Don't forget Rossler.
Oh, damn it. Okay.
I'm here, Jesse.
Pretend that... I didn't know if you were speaking or producing today. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. There's an episode we did recently and I was editing it, and the first thing I said when I hosted is John lies on every single episode. I had to take that out.
He does lie every single episode. Why would you leave out episode? The truth? Our listeners deserve to know that.
Nah, that's not a good way to start, but take it away, Jesse.
Sorry, Rossler, say hi to everybody because you're here and you have a lot to say.
I'm here. We'll see if I have a lot to say.
I'm sure you will. It's fine. I'm sure.
Okay.
All right. So, yeah, we're going to do a swing around the leagues where we find things interesting. And then we're going to talk about these transfers and they're going and looking at towards the end of the transfer window. So let's get started in Spain. All right. So, y'all, what are some things that you have seen from La Liga that we must get takes out about quickly?
I'll jump in first.
I mean, please go ahead.
Captain's privileges. Captain goes first. I'll follow.
Captain okay. is.
I mean, I think one of the biggest transfers for me out of La Liga has got to be Ousmane Dembele finally making the move to PSG. I think he's been. Barcelona was a great fit for him, but I don't know if, honestly, he felt completely comfortable there. I think particularly after Xavi took over, it seemed like he was getting more injuries on purpose, which sucks to say, but I think he's going to thrive at PSG. I think he's going to thrive with his countryman, Mbappe. PSG are always dangerous. I know we're talking about La Liga, but Barcelona really didn't. This is not to sound harsh about Dembele. However, Dembele leaving is not the biggest loss, is not a major loss to the roster of Barcelona into this season. It's not that he won't be missed, but they can get goals and assists in other places. So that's the biggest transfer for me out of the Liga, honestly. And we'll talk one of the most shocking, when we talk about Saudi Arabia, we'll talk about one of the most shocking transfers out of the Liga to the Saudi Arabian League later on.
All right, since Rossler, what says you? Do you have anything to follow up with that with? Or?
Not a big thing. I guess the biggest kept secret was the biggest transfer that wasn't really a secret, the Jude Bellingham transfer. Everybody knew that was going to happen to Real Madrid. And there were rumors that some of the other teams were going to try to get him, but nobody was spending that money other than Real, and we all knew that's where he wanted to go. So that wasn't a big shocker. It was just, it finally happened.
Oh yeah, that was like the biggest non-secret transfer. But if Real wants their man, they'll get their man. So, mm-hmm. Or person. But. Joseph, what says you about La Liga?
A mess. In no uncertain terms. I think La Liga has so much work to do in terms of cleaning their league up. But you know, the raw fact of the matter is that I think it's going to be a case of, based off the way the transfers have gone and the way that sides are looking, I think it's going to be a case of as you were. It's still Real Madrid's title to lose. Carlo Ancelotti is the best manager in that league, bar none. Vinny Jr. has some... we're going to see very much him dominate this season. That's how I feel about it. And I don't think any of the newcomers to the league will be doing anything. And if there is anybody that I expect to make waves, not that he will, but if there's any that I expect to make waves, it is the signing that old Manchester City over there loaned out to Las Palmas, I think it was. Yeah, that'll get him a lot of first-team football. We'll finally be able to see what he's been doing in Argentina in Europe. And La Liga is a perfect transition for him. I think that is a major step up in terms of the way that that particular style of football is played. No disrespect to the Argentine Premier League. I think the Argentinian Premier is one of the best leagues in the world, and I maintain that with vehement vigor and fire and brimstone. But La Liga is a different planet, and there's just certain things that you see in that league that you just don't see in Argentina. So we'll see if the boy has got what it takes, and we'll see if Pep is going to take notice and perhaps maybe, you know, not just buy him just so that everybody else can't have him.
It's on you, Jesse. Did you have anything?
Wow, I had so much to say and I was on mute. That's dumb. Okay, let's try it again. What I was going to say is that it's very much, you know, Real Madrid's title to lose, even though Barcelona had like a small hiccup, which is, you know, fine. It's only week 2 out of 38, but I've been looking at the financial things again, and it's appeared that Barcelona is so broke that they are now making training academy players take the bus to training. And I'm like, yo, that is, I mean, like I said, cost reducing measures, but it's very interesting to see the financial situation kind of unfold from Barcelona's side because they are broke. Okay. So we got our little pieces about La Liga. Let's go to France. See, one thing I'm seeing here, it's like the building and kind of the restructuring that's happening in Marseille. What do y'all have to say about that?
Joseph, I know you wanted to touch on the Marseille situation because as Lyon supporter, they can defend themselves.
Fair.
Thank you for that. So moving swiftly along here, you know, they're just mad because they don't have no drip. It's not my problem. I personally think that this is definitely a case of all change where Marseille is concerned. Lots of movement and shaking. Very, very, very few pieces left from the side that tried to challenge for the title. Which, given that PSG are in the position that they're in now, you know, they've had to offload a lot. There's still a lot of players that they haven't registered, you know. And it's all really mainly down to, you know, having to comply with the financial rules that they violated, which we all knew was going to happen. Now, the thing that I think the thing that I think is really interesting is how much time will it take for these new boys to settle in? That is the really important question regarding Marseille season. They've got some names in. Let's not be unfair to Marseille. They brought in some players that can do some damage, certainly in this league. You know what I'm saying? My favorite of the lot that they managed to pull in would have to be Joaquin Correa. That boy's a baller. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think it's just he is basically going to be the person that they look forward to once Dimitri Payet calls it. Because, you know, Dimitri Payet is still definitely one of the league's best players. But if I'm not mistaken, I don't think he's there now. I think he left. Let me double check that, because I am still not clear on the Payet situation. But hey, they picked up a very good player from Inter. That is something that I can say about Joaquin Correa. He was never going to get into that first team, I think, the way that they've been playing the last couple of seasons. And I know that Cap can speak to that. But the boy deserves first team football. And Marseille, wicked move. I think not only will he be the playmaker and the linchpin around that,
Just to confirm, Dimitri is now playing for Brazilian side Vasco.
See, I knew he left. I think so.
That's a
I
fucking do. Step
I
down
mean, Vasco da Gama have a lot to prove, and they're trying to get back to the days of old where they were dominant. You know what I'm saying? Dimitri Payet is a coup for them, without question. But is that it? You know, like. I don't know. Cast your mind back to the Copa Libertadores last season. You know what I'm saying? It's just they were not good enough. And I think Dimitri Payet adds a bit more. But do I also see them winning the division in Brazil? No, I don't. I think it's Flamengo or Fluminense that are the champions, but it's theirs to lose. They're really fucking good. You know what I mean? Flamengo, your reigning, defending Copa Libertadores champions. Understand? It was an all-Brazilian final as well. So shout out to Atletico Paranaense as well. They're a decent side. I think it just really... No one's fucking with Brazilian football teams in CONMEBOL right now on a club level. They're back in a big, 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 big way. You understand? Like, but back to Marseille, how much time will they have till they get to the point where they're actually actively, consistently in the running for the league? Because this could be a make or break moment for the club. I don't want to overstate it or be alarmist, but I do think that you take a major risk with changing out all of the pieces that did as well as they did for you last season. And I don't just mean Payet, I mean all of them. Like, there's only a few that are still there from last season. So that's really all I had to say. No, I mean, that was rapid.
And
that
I think
really it is all I had to say about the Marseille situation. I wait in anticipation and with bated breath at the hopes that Marseille actually do go for the league and take it off of PSG. I want them to win the league. But I am very, very wary about this risk that they're taking here.
And speaking of PSG, and Joseph, I know you have money thoughts about PSG. I mean, we all do. Let's just keep it real.
They did.
They added Ousmane Dembele.
Yep.
Giancarlo Ramos. They added. Mm-hmm. They finally purchased Xavi Simmons from PSV. They bought him back. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They brought Lucas Hernandez from Bayern Munich.
Yep.
Kang Hing Lee from Mallorca.
Oh, I didn't know they got him.
Manuel Ugarte from Sporting. Asensio was a free agent. His contract was terminated by Real Madrid.
So yes, I know about that one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Skriniar from Inter, the top center back. So that, like, you want to talk about, like, yes, they have to offload several players
to get rid of that money. Yeah, they had to cut that wage bill down. Neymar was always going.
But
you understand?
They did. And, you know, Messi obviously is playing in Miami now. But, yeah, that shakeup was the shakeup this summer at PSG, adding Ousmane Dembele, adding Skriniar, adding Marco Asensio, adding Kang Healy, adding Lucas Hernandez, adding Xavi Simmons. So they've added at every position on the pitch. They've pretty much added either they've added depth or a starter at PSG. Not to mention the fact they still have Kylian Mbappe, despite the fact that he was initially at the beginning of the summer transfer window was rumored to be leaving, and then Real Madrid was dragging their feet. PSG finally said no to every single offer. I still think eventually Kylian is going to go to what he believes is a greener pastures elsewhere, but they are too invested in him at PSG. The PSG board has put too much investment in him at this point, and they got rid of Neymar and they got rid of Messi. And now it's just him, and he has a fresh coat of paint with all this with all this young talent surrounding him, where he can be the focal point, and it's not the cameras aren't going to be on Messi, the cameras aren't going to be on Neymar because they're not there, they're going to be on him, and they still are rumored to add Mwani from the Bundesliga as another attacking option, in addition to the attacking options they already have added. So you want to talk? So they've bolstered their defense with Skriniar and Ungarte and Kang and Ming Lee. They've bolstered their midfield by adding Xavi Simmons. They've bolstered their wingers with Asensio and Dembele. They are rumored to be adding Mwani. They already have Mbappe. Like, this is but here we go again. It's you add all these pieces. And then they work as it relates to the league. But then once we get to the Champions League,
that's what I was going to ask. That's exactly what my question was going to be for you. They reloaded, but are they going to be able to compete in Champions League?
The last time they did this major overhaul, when they added Messi, when they already had Neymar, when they added a number of other pieces, they weren't able to do it. They had too many personalities. I think they have fewer personalities now, but I don't think I think they need at least one or two seasons for this team to mesh before they can cause damage. If they add another attacking threat in Mwani before the transfer window ends, that's going to be really dangerous. It's going to be really hard to argue against them, because that's just an additional attacking threat, you know, that can cycle off when Mbappe comes off. So, they are dangerous at every level. PSG is dangerous at every level. They've added depth at every level. They do this all the time, and we just let them get away with it. It's why they may have faltered and let Lille win the Ligue 1 title. Two or three seasons ago, but then they came right back and won it simultaneously after that. So, but you know, I don't want to spend too much time in France. I know we got to move on, Jesse, but yeah, we'll see how long PSG will survive in the Champions League with this new fresh, with all this fresh talent.
Well, that
the kits will be nice.
Yeah.
Well, let's
the kits are always
that
nice.
That would be a certain.
Let's Champions not get League. Ahead of ourselves. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, here's the most important thing about PSG, whether this will work or not. And this, for me, is a two-word answer. Luis Enrique. That is the most important transfer that they made, and it's not a player. Now, don't get me wrong. Luis Enrique's CV speaks for itself. You understand? It really does. Two La Liga titles, three Copa del Reyes, a Supercopa de España, a Champions League in 2014-15, a Super Cup in 2015, a Club World Cup in 2015. For Spain, he finished runner-up with the national team in the UEFA Nations League. He has won Coach of the Year, FIFA World Coach of the Year in 2015, as well as La Liga. The man is decorated, you understand? He's also a very decorated player as well. He's played for both Real Madrid and Barcelona and won with them. So, can he make this side work? Can he be the manager that actually makes the PSG project work? Because let's be clear, it's not really succeeded as well as they'd have liked to. They thought they were going to get Champions League five seasons ago. They have not had bad managers come through their ranks. And I'm very much including Thomas Tuchel because that's when he was good. You know what I mean? That's when
I mean, you could also include the current Chelsea manager.
Better at Spurs than he was at PSG, I'm going to be perfectly frank.
And the only reason that he was given a bad hand at PSG was because he had all those personalities to deal with. Thomas Tuchel basically handed him the keys to all of these bad apples.
That he pissed off. At the club. Allegedly.
He pissed off.
Make sure that the lawyers know that allegedly pissed off. I certainly believe some of the reports, but that's just me. You know what I mean? And it happened at Chelsea too, so it's just like there's no smoke without fire. So my thing is, you're absolutely right, Cap. Can Luis Enrique be the one to get these friggin' divas in line? You know what I'm saying? Because it is definitely a soap opera at that club, make no mistake. It is. We're probably going to need to do that like we did Barcelona. I'll think of something in post. But yeah.
All right. Cool. Let's move on to... I'm going to say Italy. What do we want to talk to about Italy? Because I don't really have much to say.
I think for me, Victor Osimhen staying at Napoli and signing an extension is probably one of the biggest moves in Serie A.
Yes.
Because he was being rumored to Real Madrid, to Barcelona, to PSG, to Manchester United, to Liverpool, to Arsenal, to everywhere this summer. He had everything, the wind is at his back. He won a Scudetto early with Napoli, and everyone thought this current Napoli side was going to get blown up. All they lost was one. They did lose one center back, but outside of that, and they also lost the I can't think of the brother's name, but the Polish midfielder. But they really didn't lose major pieces. So.
Kavara is still there. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Kavara is still there. They are still a very talented side, and I think. Oh, I got it. Sorry, Joseph. Roma.
God damn it.
You want to talk about a side?
You're right, though.
Jose Mourinho was, about that business this summer. You want to talk about a window? Renato Sanchez, Leonardo Paredes, Rasmussen Christensen from Leeds.
Yep.
Diego Llorente, also from Leeds. Yep. Evan Ndika from Frankfurt. Awar from Lyon. Diego Llorente from... That was it. Awar,
Renato Sanchez is the one that I'm looking forward to seeing. Christensen, because that's a bad boy midfielder. I've rated him for time, and I will continue to. I don't want that dickhead Mourinho to ruin him. That's the only thing I'm worried about. But look, still the same pieces from last season as well. Steven El Shaarawy isn't El Shaarawy still there? Yeah.
He is still there.
Tammy Abraham unlocked. You know what I'm saying?
For some reason. He's currently injured, so rest roll to
but
him.
When he was playing, good lord, he was unplayable. You understand? Like, I loved seeing him thrive, and for that much at least, I will not be a complete petty bitch and give Mourinho his props for that. Still a dickhead, but a stopped clock is right twice a day.
So yeah, Roma looks stacked. We'll see what they can do. I think we got to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it, obviously, but I think Milan made several moves this summer. They added U.S. agent,
right?
Yeah.
Apparently, with Pulisic, there's been a massive spike in AC Milan shirts being sold with his name on it. I think something like 45% have come from, well, obviously the United States. I would just like to say quickly, Cap, that I understand that this is your boy, okay? No, not you.
What are you talking about?
Ooh. Talking about U.S. men's national team fans and who love up Christian Pulisic for some bizarre reason. You know what I mean? So it makes no fucking sense to me, Captain. I don't get it. The boy's not that good. You know what I mean? I don't want to take away from his technique. I don't want to take away from his skill on the ball. Because there are times, certainly when he was at Dortmund, where I was like, this kid's going to ball out. You know what I mean? And then Chelsea happened. And what else happened? You understand what I'm saying to you? Like, he didn't. You can argue that he didn't get a fair shot. I'm trying to be as fair as I can here to Marco Makalele, you know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day,
sure,
I just don't understand why this. I don't see what they see in him.
Well, I'll say this. You know, we can easily move away from the Pulisic edition and talk about the real American edition that Milan added in Yunus Musa.
Now you're talking my language.
Who is a steal, is a tremendous talent. Tremendous youngster was balling out at Valencia. Milan not only added Yunus Musa, who I think is going to be doing gangbusters playing behind Rafael Leao. But they added Samuel Chukwueze, fucking amazing, a steal from the Nigerian superstar, playing, formerly of Villarreal. They added Noah Okafor from Salzburg, obviously Pulisic. And then I think one of the other biggest steals for me, honestly, I don't know how the rest of you feel, but I think Ruben Loftus-Cheek.
I will agree.
Who never really got a fair shake at Chelsea. I think given the opportunity, I mean, he's also a very attractive man. and I think he knows that. What was that? Sorry, Jesse.
We need to clip out Jesse's reaction.
That's definitely getting
that was perfect.
Watch that, fam. Don't watch.
Oh
that.
My god.
Okay, man's on it. That is.
Oh man.
That is gold.
That needs to be a sound effect from now on. Just. Oh my god.
Sorry.
I'm sorry, Cap. Go ahead.
But yeah, I think and thank you, Jesse, for that. Obviously you agree.
Okay, I'll let you back. Sorry.
It's not me. I just know that apparently he's on all these really attractive footballers list. I don't know. Anyway, Yunus Musa and Chukwueze. I don't really know what the attack for Milan is going to look like because you have Musa, Chukwueze, and Rafael Leao all playing on the right wing, and then on the left you have Pulisic. I mean, you got rid of Ketelaar and sent him to Atalanta, which I'm going to say something that's not controversial to this podcast, but is controversial, is a hot take that we are used to. Ketelaar is a better winger than
of course he does. Pulisic, that's not
and has a higher
that's
ceiling.
That's just what.
But the fact that Ketelaar is the one they sent on loan rather than Pulisic, like Pulisic should be the one that should be in should be at Atalanta, not
You're talking about Charles de Ketelaar.
If
yeah. The one that's been loaned to
him. Yes. Yeah. The Belgian.
Not only does he have a higher ceiling just by virtue of his age, did you not see the boy play? Like, what are you doing with a side that you, you know what I mean?
He's a future
with Belgian. A side that you're bringing in Samuel Belgian. Bloody Chukwueze, Yunus Musa, you know, you got, what's his name? Fucking Noah Okafor. Like, they brought him in at center forward. Bro. They are not lacking in options, and they're coming for that fucking Scudetto title. You understand? Like, the AC Milan is not ramping this season. I think whatever they were said at the end of the Champions League final, the Ultras, whatever they said to them, shook them the fuck up, because they are not playing games this season. But you cannot tell me
really not.
That going with Pulisic at 24 is better than going with Charles fucking de Ketelaere at 22, especially when you compare the boys' tapes. Look at them! For a system that is with these players that I just mentioned earlier, de Ketelaere is just waiting to break through. This could have been his season. But they're giving it to fucking, you know, Parkland, Pavel Neved, or whatever. Like, ugh. Anyway, back to you, Hoss.
All right. I'm going to swing this now over. I mean, we could talk about Germany, but.
Oh, I do have one question.
No. We do need to talk about. But no. We got.
Yeah.
I know, Rossler, I'm going to tee all of you up.
Just one question before we move on. Wait.
Yes.
Is Lukaku still floating out there?
He's in the ether.
Yes.
Space? Okay, that's it. We can move on now.
The stateless citizen,
essentially. I just needed to acknowledge that before.
Yeah, he's in the ether, bro. He's not landing any time soon with his life.
No. He's pissed off several fan bases at several different clubs. And...
He might as well just come MLS, man. Make it happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. We got to talk about it. What's going on, John? We got to talk about it. We got to talk about Harry Kane.
Yes.
Going to Bayern Munich. John, you couldn't have come at a better time. We are currently talking about the Bundesliga transfers. We just left Italy. We talked about Spain. We talked about
before we pass the mic to this trifling bastard here. I want everybody to look at his name.
Don't even
look at it. I'm not saying it on air. I'm capturing this moment.
He's gonna say it now.
No, I'm editing out the post because I don't want to fucking hear it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, no, I'm gonna do it. I'm not saying it on air, bro. No. I love you, but just get to it. Get to the question.
John. Yes, please. Just announce it so we can move on.
Oh my God. Why would you?
The reigning defending treble winners. Is that?
No.
So teeing it up for everyone. Obviously, Bayern Munich made several moves this summer, but one of the most titanic, and I use titanic with all of the fervor, because of what happened to the Titanic. Harry Kane is playing for Bayern Munich. and apparently is a Skechers athlete. Both of those things are hilarious to me.
Oh, absolutely.
I think the funniest part is the fact that he's a Skechers. I think it's funnier that he's a Skechers athlete. The second funniest thing is the fact that he's trying to learn German in a short amount of time. The third most funny thing is the fact that Bayern paid such a high price for, yes, is he going to, you know, is it a foregone conclusion that Bayern Munich are going to win the Bundesliga title this campaign? Who's to say? Does Harry Kane have a better chance of winning something other than a golden boot in Germany? Obviously. Does he have a chance of winning a Champions League? Yes. Does he have a chance of winning the German title? Yes. Does he have a chance of winning a German Cup? Certainly. Certainly better than he was at Spurs. Now, we could now, you know, we're going to get to, you know, the Premier League later on, obviously, but y'all, particularly for you Gunners, I know y'all left for several days about this transfer at the expense of Clay.
Which let me go ahead and bear this in mind. Just like I love Jonathan down to the ground and am willing to commit murder for him, right? I still can't stand his ass. So with that said, Clay, love you too, bro. You're the brother that I never had. However, your taste in football teams to support is absolutely piss poor. And I just need you to understand that there is help. You know what I'm saying? You just got to reach for it. That's it.
Nothing about Harry Kane in Germany playing in Bayern.
We're talking about the Bundesliga. Translation.
Well, kind of. He could care less. Like, at first, when I saw the news about the Harry Kane thing, I'm just like, yeah, whatever. Then I saw that he's leaning towards staying. At least it was rumored he was leaning towards staying, allegedly. And I was like, okay, whatever. That's actually a silly decision. But, you know, whatever. Because you're not going to break Shearer's record in a season. If you're staying at Spurs, you're finishing at Spurs. And I think he knew that. You know what I mean? This chance is not going to come back around, even if he has a fantastic season with Spurs. Every club would have gotten the message that he's trying to be loyal to one team for his entire career. Like most Spurs supporters thought that he would. And I said, nah, as soon as the right international offer comes, he's out of there. Enter Bayern Munich. He gets a shot at picking up where Robert Lewandowski left off. Don't know about you, but if I'm Harry Kane, I'm taking that chance. So I don't blame the boy for doing that. But do I care? Hang on, let me look on my Pawn Pilot. Nope. Mm-hmm.
Pawn Pilot? You say Palm Pilot?
In the year 2023, that's right.
In the year?
You don't know what I've got.
Okay, I'm going to let that go.
Thank you also for that, Jonathan. See, every now and again, he's all right. Look at that.
All right, let's move into the great league, our favorite league, the Premier League. Some interesting that I saw last week. West Ham beating up on Chelsea 3-1. You know, Man United losing to Tottenham 2-0.
Hey, man.
Yes.
I've been waiting to talk about Chelsea.
Let's get into this. This is way more interesting than fucking Spurs. Spurs are just doing what Spurs
do. Let's do it.
Yes. Yes, let's talk about the fact.
So
let's talk about the fact. No, Rossler. Money. You need to get roasted. Your club needs to get roasted. Before you even talk about Chelsea, you have the opportunity to find two and you missed out on both of them for Chelsea.
But listen,
explain that shit.
Okay, so let's start with Liverpool.
Yeah, you got to get roasted for that. Yeah, you do. Because you could have just had the best midfield in the Premier League.
Hold on.
Yeah, and you try to get it on the cheap.
Oh,
wow.
Let's wait for Jesse, and then I'll respond to that.
Hold up. I'm trying to figure out who you roast first. Let's start with Chelsea because I know everybody got something to say about Chelsea.
So I'll say this about Chelsea. You spend more money in two transfer windows or 2 years, let's just say 2 years, than certain leagues spend on transfers, and you out here losing games, bro. What's wrong with you? And the fans are content. We're going to get sixth place again. We're going to do better than sixth. Y'all ain't even talking about winning the title, and you spend that much money to be mediocre? How? How does that make sense?
That Enzo Hernandez missed his penalty. I was like, relegation.
It's relegation. Karma.
Everybody it's thought karma. I was beat.
And why can't Chelsea develop any strikers?
Exaggerative. Bruv, even with Mauricio Pochettino, God bless his soul. Yeah. The Chelsea are going to be the relegation battle this season. I'm sorry.
What the thing about Chelsea for me is, yes, did they beat out Liverpool for two star midfielders that Liverpool should have bought? Obviously. Well, at the same time, Chelsea signed in the previous window they signed Nkunku, and they signed him in January, and he was going to play he was on loan to Leipzig for the remainder of the season, and then started with Chelsea at the beginning of this transfer window, and he's injured until January.
This club is cursed. This club is fucking cursed. I told you. Listen.
Good luck, everybody.
Still looking for him. Still he's looking running around Sterling. Somewhere. We still just not for like, him. You know what I mean?
Jesus Christ.
I told that.
Chicken legs.
You know what?
You did. Just, you did. We have that recorded.
He heard me.
We do have that recorded.
He didn't. Because I just don't understand why you would do that to your career, bro. Why would you do that? Why Chelsea Football Club, son? I like. It is bad. It's the sunken place for black footballers. It is.
Well,
unless
well,
you're Drogba, Essien, or Makaleli.
Yes.
Yes. Or Ashley Cole, I suppose.
Yeah. Nah.
Do you know what the best part was? Maybe. If they stay up. Oh, but they'll be great in the championship, though. They'll run that league. Yeah. No, I tell you what the funniest thing was about that West Ham win. There's footage of the West Ham supporters saying, singing "All That Money in Your Fucking Shit." It's so true as well. Mm-hmm. They're pointing to him. And all the Chelsea supporters could do was just stand and stare. You know them way there? You know what I mean? When it stinks and you can't say anything to save face. Relegation. I'm sticking to it. Everybody's... I do.
I don't think they're going to get relegated, but they should be shooting a lot higher than they are. Because they're getting quality players, for sure. They just don't know what to do with them.
But I mean, we're going to record a full episode later, but
oh, I got more.
of course
we have plenty for another episode. We have plenty for another episode.
But let's. I mean, but let's. But
yeah, man. Yeah, but on a more serious note, like they're doing business the way that they are by offering these 8-year contracts, which is either going to work really well or it's going to screw them over if the players don't work out. And from what I've seen, I've seen stories. I don't know if it's concrete yet, but there seems to be rule changes against that, so they won't be able to do contracts for that long to try to curb that, or at least I think they should.
They really should, though, because 8 years
that's the whole of the prime of your career. Okay. Like, they want you locked in for the entirety of the prime of your career. They're not ramping. 8 years? 8 years. I would never sign an 8-year contract unless I absolutely love that club down to the ground. And I know for a fact them boys don't love Chelsea. So you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Todd Bowley is out here giving MLB contracts to Premier League players. Come and see my trial. Wow.
Or Mudryk.
No.
Them checks.
All right.
I'm going to say it. All right. None of the clubs that the hosts support won the transfer window for in the Prem. I know it stings. In my opinion, Aston Villa, far and away.
Hey,
you got the best center back in Serbia, but well, hold on.
Yes.
Aston Villa signed Zaniolo, Diaby,
oh my God.
Pau Torres.
Yuri Tillman's on a free beats anything that Chelsea have got this season, bruv. That is a bad boy midfielder. Do you understand me? Okay, but look what they did in the next game. Yeah. And they had to... Like, why are you bringing up Newcastle like this?
They've done some work the last couple of years.
Come on now, bruv.
Newcastle's...
Come on now, bruv.
Mm-hmm.
Newcastle did not smoke them in as much as it took Villa a while to grow into the game and they made some crucial mistakes. I'm not going to disrespect their play. I watched that match. They were very ponderous to start with, but they did grow into the game. They just couldn't finish.
Plus, it's...
We know what the score was.
The point... We have another episode to
record. We'll
get to that in a moment.
Hey, man.
But
this man said, check the scoreboard.
And you're not even... I know you feel threatened by the fact that I said that Villa won the window, but I'm only saying that because Manchester City really didn't lose any pieces. You just added to an existing structure because losing Gundogan and losing Gundogan was the biggest piece for y'all. And now with KDB injured, and we'll talk about that, when we actually record the episode. But losing, but also like signing Duku, signing the Serbian center back. Was an amazing get for you, and I'm not discounting that. But what I'm saying is, Unai Emery did gangbusters in this summer transfer window. Like he signed.
Look, if City supporters don't take Jeremy Doku and turn him into a Star Wars meme and call him Count Doku from here on out, then you failed, as far as I'm concerned. That is where I'm at with it. Okay.
Damn.
No, but that's what you turned it into. No, don't talk about where football is at. You man are the spearhead for that shit. Okay? Yeah, do you fail? Like, well, it's slim pickings at this point. You understand? I'm going to go ahead and tell you that straight up. I can't stand you cheating bastards. And I cannot wait for your point deduction, bro. But that's not the point.
And to Rossler's earlier point about Newcastle signing Tonali, and like stealing him from Milan because he was going to sign an extension.
You started shaking your fucking $1,000 in front of him.
And they got Livermento.
I don't understand. Yeah, and they got Livermento. Like Newcastle still have a lot to fucking prove, though.
Them boys don't work.
Why is it bro?
You were right.
No, I think we all acknowledge that they were building. I think, you know, losing Saint Maxim is probably one of their, you know, because I think Saint Maxim could have probably cared, you know, as far as their attack is concerned, he could have done, you know, there was certainly room to grow there, on top of the talent that he already had. But also, when you think about what Newcastle needed in order to, you know, they needed a defensive mid to play behind Almiron and Bruno. They got that. Mm-hmm. They needed a strong winger, defensive back. They added that in Livermento. They are doing amazing work. I think we can't discount the likes of, City legend, Vincent Kompany's Burnley, quietly making moves, to stay up. I think Burnley is going to, you know, sneak into, because of what Vincent Kompany is doing, they might stay up. Bournemouth made some, I don't want to necessarily say shocking moves, but I think, you know, because of their new ownership, which includes a certain Creed actor, that bolsters their star power from a front office standpoint, obviously. But because I don't think he has any idea what he purchased when he purchased Bournemouth or was added to the owning team. I think he's still trying to figure that shit out. Bournemouth made a lot of moves. Obviously, Arsenal. Arsenal spent too much on Declan Rice. Sorry, y'all need to get roasted.
The only thing I will say, though, is that Declan Rice has been playing absolutely out of control since he's arrived. And I'm not going to say that was worth every penny of 105 million. We got a ways yet before I start saying anything like that out here.
Sometimes you got to overpay for what you need, though.
Yeah, fair. Or you got to sell players when you shouldn't. Damn. Right, Jesus.
You got a what now?
Lord have mercy. I didn't hear what you said.
What'd you say, Neil?
With the low blow sound, it's just like unbelievable. Like it was stealthy because you didn't feel the impact at first, but then you clocked it and you were like, oh no, Jesus. Yeah, and it has been because that's what Klopp does. It's what he does.
It has been. But
just ask Dortmund.
It's still better than what we did last year.
But
because we didn't have any midfield last year.
This is true. And you know, you signed a World Cup winner. So, you know, you overpaid for that World Cup winner. And now Brighton are four. Mm-hmm. We'll see how Brighton spends the money.
Yeah, that shit. Bootleg Suarez. Yes.
Oh my god.
Bro. No,
as soon as it happened.
Bootleg Suarez can go somewhere with that. I think he should have just stayed at Benfica for another season. Then maybe if he had a good season, he might be playing like in the league or something like that. But big man. I don't want to hear about Darwin Nunez. Like that boy. That boy's got so much to prove this season. It's unreal.
All right. I think we got our jokes off and our thoughts off about the Premier League. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back. Okay, this is production notes, but are we breaking off transfers into the set piece or are we just going to bring them together?
Oh, we're going to the set piece is going to probably be a separate thing, but we can record.
Okay, wait.
But we can come back from the break and talk about the Saudi shit. Yeah, we can talk about Saudi because the Saudi league has fucking disrupted everything. And then, yeah.
All right, I'll do that. Okay, cool. Three. And we're back. So for our today's big topic, we're going to talk about kind of proliferation of the Saudi Pro League. If y'all have been living under a rock for these last few months, we have a lot of star players and some that have scratching our heads, transferring over to the Saudi League. There are a lot of implications, both on the pitch and off the pitch. And we would be remiss if we don't discuss what this will all mean and how this will trickle down to the rest of world football. So my first thing is, do we want to talk about the economic? Do we want to talk about the players?
I think we can.
There's so much going on. Let's go. Yeah, let's just do it.
I mean, do you want to start? Like, how did, like, what are your, you know?
Again, it's, yes, we can talk about all the ways they're throwing around money, but we should also undercut that with how this is doing a lot of sports washing, especially with the regime that's in place in Saudi Arabia and how they are really trying to kind of make their way or like set secretly burrowing their way into being a mainstay league for everyone to kind of access and figure out. Cause I mean, right now it's like, you can't find anything, but slowly but surely we are seeing information and it's not something that I don't think can go ignored for much longer, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, I certainly agree. I think with the way that they're moving, it's an obvious shell game, right? And what's going to be interesting to me is the Saudi Pro League right now doesn't have an international television deal. They're not linked to UEFA. They're trying to fight so they can so their teams can have a tournament to qualify for UEFA in next season for European League play and the Conference League and the Europa League and also the Champions League. But as it stands right now, they aren't on major networks across the world. They're not even, you know, so you have to, in order to watch the league, if you are in a country that doesn't currently stream the league, you have to find an illegal stream and pirate watch it. And those of us who have been watching the beautiful game for any amount of years know all about pirating streams. All of these players that are now, and you know, we can run down the list from Benzema going on a free to Conte going on a free to Ruben Neves going for 55 million for Koulibaly going for 17 million. Mendy going for 21 million, Gerard coaching one of the major sides, Brozovic going for 21. Jota has apparently left, but his initial was 31. Firmino for free. Milinkovic-Savic for 40 million. Seko Fofana for 25 million. Alex Telles for 4 million. And so on and so forth. Like, you know, Neymar, I think, was the big marquee transfer recently. Jordan Henderson was another major, you know, was another more recent one. Not as major as Neymar, obviously. But yeah, all of these players just getting the bag, securing the bag. of course, I mean, obviously. Listen, I'm gonna. I got to keep it real. if anything, I got to keep it real. But yet, like all of these, I mean, Riyad Mahrez, Alan St. Maxim, we were just talking about him. Fabinho, Sadio Mane.
Yeah, Sadio Mane going there doesn't surprise me somehow, because I believe he's a very devout Muslim, and to be able to live in the place where Mecca exists is, well, it speaks for itself, quite frankly. Paul Pogba, I think, is another one, right? No?
Paul Pogba hasn't been confirmed yet. Okay. As far as I know. I mean, he's currently signed to Juventus. So, asking if he's a devout Muslim, yes. If you're asking if he's leaving Juventus, probably not.
Yeah, that's another.
But I mean, Frank Kessie, mm-hmm. Barcelona, mm-hmm. that's major. I mean, and I think one of the biggest and most shocking transfers was breaking as of I think yesterday, was Gabriel Vega from Celta Vigo, a youngster similar age to Jota, who was at Celtic. Just Gabriel Vega has we were talking about De Ketelaere earlier. Another youngster that has a super high ceiling, tremendous talent, was sought by Barcelona, was sought by Real Madrid in the summer, was sought by Liverpool, was linked to Liverpool, was linked to Arsenal. I don't think he had any links to United. I think Manchester City sent a scout. Was linked to PSG. Was linked to all the big clubs: Bayern Munich, Borussia Dortmund. This kid was linked everywhere, and he was playing for Celta Vigo. And he goes to Saudi Arabia instead of having the pick of the litter and going to any, instead of either staying at Celta Vigo or going anywhere else in the world. He chooses Saudi Arabia. This kid has a tremendous ceiling. Now, some of these other players that I mentioned, you know, your Neymars, your Cristiano Ronaldo's, your Mendy's, your Koulibaly's, your Sadio Mane's, some of those players are not necessarily past their prime, but we understand why they ended up in Saudi Arabia. They want to secure their future for their future generations. But Gabriel Vega really is a head scratcher for me. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense because he's not, again, the Saudi Pro League does not have a major streaming deal, does not have a major television deal. They aren't on TV across the world. No one is actively wearing, yes, are more people wearing Saudi Pro League jerseys because, you know, their favorite player is now playing in the Saudi Pro League. Yes. But at the same time, where are they going to watch? Where are people in the United States outside of pirating the streams? There is no television channel that has the Saudi Pro League. Now, will that happen maybe 4 or 5 years down the road? Yes, potentially. But all those players that transferred this year are not going to be there. Benzema is probably not going to be there. Mane is not going to be there. Kessie may, but you know, Koulibaly probably won't. I'm sorry, y'all. The Gabriel Vega thing really rocked me today, and I'm still recovering from it.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong.
I would also like
there's some potential in Gabby Vega going over there that I can see. First of all, he's forging a different path. Yes, unfortunately it is the Saudi Pro League, but it is a league that doesn't have that kind of prominence. And he could be what Henrik Larsson was to the Scottish Premiership. See what I mean? Like, that's something that will always entice a player that is super ambitious. And I think Gabby Vega is super ambitious. Saying all that, I still think that in order for it to work, man has to be covered in silverware by the time he's ready to leave and come back to Europe or wherever he chooses to go after that. I'm talking league titles and the Asian Champions League. The AFC Champions League is probably going to be the biggest one. None of these clubs in Saudi Arabia have just domestic ambitions. They have continental ones too. So that's the thing. That's the thing that we need to look at here. But to Cap's point, is that going to run the whole span of 4 to 5 years before networks start to take notice? Like, we can't predict that. We can't predict when they might, you know, offer it to an American audience. I don't know if anybody in Europe's got that kind of audience, but I'm sure, you know, perhaps Sky is covering it at least in a highlight show every week. You know what I mean?
They're not. I can tell you it's not on Sky. I can tell you it's not on Sky. I can tell you it's not on Sky Italia. I can tell you it's not playing in Germany. I can tell you it's not playing.
So no European audience.
No European audience is actively watching, legally watching the Saudi Pro
League. See, this is what I'm talking about. So,
I love how legally it's been like the asterisk here, because it's true. Sorry, carry on.
But yeah, I mean, I just think there's just so much of an outlay for all of that to be built around winning the Champions League every season for 4 to 5 seasons. Like, I think that is the kind of thing that it's going to take for anybody to take notice. When Saudi clubs are constantly showing up in the FIFA Club World Cup, which does get coverage, as far as I'm aware, then people will start to take notice, and so too with the networks, because they'll want to exploit that interest, as they want to do, allegedly. So, I mean, at the end of the day, this is what we're looking at. I think kudos to Gabby Vega for being as ambitious as he is, but also I hold a bit of reservation, much like Kat does, for a lot of these players moving to a league that is not just easy money. They're going to expect you to do the thing. Can you? And can you at least make it competitive enough for people to take notice? Because that's what MLS has done. That's the difference between MLS and Saudi Pro League. While we're on that topic, Cap, can we stop making comparisons between MLS and the Saudi Pro League? MLS is miles ahead of the Saudi Pro League. And that's not just me saying that as a proud season ticket member for the Philadelphia Union, the best team in MLS. Don't care what anybody has to say about it. Suck my dick from the back if you have a problem with it. So as far as I'm concerned, like, this league still has a lot to prove, even continentally. I guarantee you more people are watching the J-League in Japan, J-League 1, and Korea Republic's K-League, their first division. I guarantee you more people are watching that per capita than they are in the Saudi Pro League. Guarantee it. You can check me on that if you like, but I'm pretty sure those numbers definitely bear out. But that's it. This is what these transfers mean.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're not just trying to get people to just, you know, on a fly-by-night thing. This is something that they want to establish as, like, continental dominance, so that the world pays attention to the football that they've been putting on for quite a while now. The most winning Champions League side in Asia is a Saudi Arabian club. Al Hilal, I think it is. Or Al Ali.
That no one can see outside of the that now the only access that American audiences specifically have is if you have the Paramount Network. So if you don't have the Paramount Network, you're not watching the Club World Cup. Because they're not throwing it on ESPN.
They're really not. Not unless like something outrageous happens and it manages to somehow scrape the Sports Center top 10. You know what I mean? Like,
well, the only time they'll mention the Saudi Pro League on ESPN social media is when Ronaldo scores a hat trick. But it's like, no one can watch it.
That is very true. So, that is very true, definitely, of last season. But this season, I don't know. Maybe we might get a couple highlight packages from at least SportsCenter, but it won't be longer than like 90 seconds tops. You know what I mean? And maybe you'll catch it on the replay if they still do that. But I don't really see a lot of audiences demanding to see the Saudi Pro League. I don't think there's a market for it.
I don't think they're demanding it because they aren't paying into those systems. I think for me, I'm rubbed the wrong way for a different reason, because a lot of the salt and the shade that's being thrown at the Saudi League for sports washing and doing all these things, quote unquote, are the same things that certain teams in the Prem do.
Mm-hmm.
And in other leagues, I think it's just, we want to protect our product, so we're going to talk shit about the Saudi League and we're not going to cover their sport because they're not pouring money into, they're not paying SportsCenter. They don't have a deal with SportsCenter. They don't have a deal with ESPN. They don't have a deal with a lot of these conglomerates that control what we have access to. And people in Saudi Arabia that I've spoken to are really excited to have a player like a Ronaldo or Neymar in their league because they follow these teams their whole life and now their favorite player is playing for their team.
So gone.
And I think a lot of the stigma is, I'm not saying it's not warranted, but we don't have the same smoke for these other leagues that are doing the same thing.
I don't know. I've definitely given Poland a fair few licks. there's some nonsense going on in that league for sure. Turkey, we've definitely whooped up on Turkey before. Let me see. What other league? We usually give it to per capita Eastern European leagues. Like, I think we definitely give it to the most. But
yeah, No.
Mm-hmm. But they've had names. They've had names come through the ranks, bro, mm-hmm. for years. Like, no, they don't. China, that's something that is immediately reminiscent of. Thank you for bringing that up, Jesse, because the way that this is where I'm coming at from it. Not to say that there's no merit to what Russell was saying, because there is quite a bit there. There have been the same tactics that have been devised by other leagues that don't really get the flack that this league gets, primarily because we know who the regime is behind it, right? And that's something that stands at odds with, mm-hmm. you know, what Russell was saying earlier. It's not as if they are not threatening, but at the same time, yes, there is a racialized element to it. And it's so complex, not necessarily complicated, because they both coexist somehow. And that's what we're all observing. And I think they do. They just don't have a deal with these lot yet because, as mm-hmm. you mentioned earlier, Russell, yes, they're trying to protect what it is that people are watching the most. They don't want to lose any market share, which is a greedy tactic. We talked about this before as to how the Premier League and all other sorts of leagues are disseminated. It's a very cartel-ish model because they're only selling it to certain regions too, mind, mm-hmm. and only certain providers that work with certain ISPs can get it. So, like, you know, it's very, very complex, extremely complex, because all of this seems to operate in tandem, even though it doesn't make any fucking sense on paper, right?
Well, that's how capitalism works. I mean, I think we're gonna see mm-hmm. eventually, and not even eventually. I'd say because of the amount of talent that is now in the Saudi Pro League, we're going to see. More than likely, and it's probably going to be Paramount Plus because NBC Universal has Peacock and they don't want any other, you know, major, you know, any major league besides the Prem on, you know, they have that exclusive deal. So ESPN does have several leagues and it's a possibility, but I think because of the way that Paramount, the Paramount Network has been moving recently with the acquisitions and some of the agreements they've made with some of the leagues, and because they have the Golasso show in the morning, like because of when, and also like I'm thinking about when the Saudi Pro League is live, right? The Golasso show is going to be a perfect buffer for a recap where they can talk about where they can highlight and talk about. And then Kate Abdo has a show that she's rolling out. I can't remember the name for the life of me right now, but she has a show that she's rolling out that's kind of like a more laid back version of the Golasso show that's also going to air on the Golasso network on Paramount Plus. So I think the natural possibility is the Paramount Network. I think it's but I mean I'm not ruling out the fact that it could go, the Saudi Pro League could go to the ESPN. I think we're at the point now as fans where I think for a couple of years even before Ronaldo had joined the Saudi Pro League, everyone was looking at the Saudi Pro League as this niche league that, yeah, they had several ballers there, several Saudi you know, several Saudi icons that have come through that league. But I think at the same time, when you look at what, you know, blood money is in every league, major or minor, in the world, in the beautiful game, every league, from the MLS in the US to the Argentinians, to the Argentinian league in Central and South America, to Liga MX in Mexico, to the Austrian league in Austria, to the Premier League, obviously in England, to the Scottish Prem, to Liga, to La Liga, and so on. And obviously the Saudi Pro League is included in that, in Saudi Arabia. So because blood money is everywhere, because capitalism is the ruling factor here, it's inevitable at this point that the Saudi Pro League is going to be on TVs because of the amount of talent that they have. They're going to have no choice but to put them on TV. It's just a matter of which network is going to be the one that picked them up. I think the natural choice is the Paramount Network, again, because of the content that is already on there, and because Peacock really only has exclusive rights to the Prem, and they don't want, as John said, they don't want to have another exclusive league on there outside of the one they already have. They don't want to devote any time or talent to that. And again, it's also the time of day that the Saudi Pro League happens. It runs right in roughshod with the Prem. So they're going to want something that, so the Saudi Pro League is thinking, we're going to want something that's dedicated where there isn't anything happening live at the same time that our league is going on. And that natural choice is the Prem. Obviously they could do something on ESPN with the, you know, with ESPN Plus, but ESPN Plus is still kind of building up their stuff, whereas the I think the Paramount Network is probably the most natural fit. But I'll get off my high horse and let someone else finish.
All right, I think actually we could kind of wrap it up there, no? Or unless someone else has something to say about those shenanigans, because I think we got some very good discussion going on here.
John comes on here every week and lies. That's it. I'm done.
I think that should be the title of this episode. John comes on here every week and lies.
Bet.
No, you haven't.
Still, it's just
you've
funny,
had
though.
Maybe like an 85% rating, I think, in terms of your predictions. Like, you have gotten a lot of the major tournaments right. That sort of thing.
Oh yeah, we need to talk about Spurs on the yeah. full episode so we can end here, because
yeah.
John was right about Sun.
Yeah,
man's washed. But yeah, we're done.
All right, should we move on? Should I do the outro for this and then move on to a set piece, or?
Yeah, that's fine.
Sure. Yes.
Okay. Cool. All right. So that was another fantastic episode of the Bandra Club FC, the sauciest team on the pitch, the spiciest takes in the game. Be sure to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at the Bandra Pub FC. I'm calling it Twitter. Who cares? I'm not calling it the other name. Whatever. And subscribe on YouTube and Twitch. And if you like what you've heard, please be sure to like, subscribe, follow, and review us on your favorite platform. So for myself, Joseph, Neil, Jonathan, and Rossler, I'm Jesse. We'll see you next time at the pub. Bye. That's all right, how did I do there?
Great. Good job. Good job.
Cool. So should we like take a quick break and then go into a set piece, or
do we want to start a new recording?
Yeah, we should definitely start a new recording for sure.
I'll just cut it.
But can we record for that long though?
Cool.
Oh, I don't know. What's the limit?
Yeah, because we're already at an hour 19. Let's just be safe.
Okay, got it.
Cut another episode.
I'll stop.
Yeah.